That's better. Good. All right, I wanted to read just a few verses in various places that have to do with the idea of charity, because I want to speak on charity this morning. And, of course, we have the whole passage, the chapter in 1 Corinthians 13 that deals with charity. And we know there that the word and many other places in the New Testament where charity is used, it means love. But I want to broaden this view of charity. We are getting to the end of the year, and people give charitable gifts. So there's a wide breadth here of the idea of charity I want to look at. And the theme is going to be gracious giving reaps rich rewards. So just a couple of verses here. First of all, 1 Corinthians 14, 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. And 1 Corinthians 16, 14, let all your things be done with charity. Colossians 3, 14, and above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And then 1 Timothy 1, 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Well, let's pray before we begin this idea of charity. Our gracious God and Father, what the privilege we have this morning to have sat in worship. Worship of Thee, the Triune God, and we have heard of the marvelous acts of salvation of Jesus Christ that have been accomplished in this world and recorded also in the book of Acts. And we pray that as we consider the time in which we live, may we be stirred through such a message as we have heard to realize Thou art the same God, the one who is continuing to ride upon the white horse of the gospel, conquering. Wilt thou send forth thy word also through the preaching of thy word and through the ministry of thy church and thy people, not only on the Lord's Day, but each day of this new week as well, but also in our country and the countries of the world, that thy kingdom would come and the prince of darkness and his dominion powers would be put to shame. Bless us now as we consider the idea of charity and help us to have hearts that are filled with love and of giving also in this reflection upon the great gift that has been given in Jesus Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So first of all, I just want to cover the first point of what is charity. And of course, charity, as I said, is often connected with the word love. If you read 1 Corinthians 13 and you substitute in the word love for charity, that's the real meaning of the word there. And most of the translations in the New Testament where you find the word charity, it is of agape, which means that heartfelt love. And so when we think of charity and giving, our mind should, of course, go to this time of year when we think of charitable giving, many things at Thanksgiving time and at the end of the year. But our thoughts should go where Paul's thoughts went, to the great gift that has been given of Jesus Christ. So when we think of charity, various words can come to mind. We think of service, love, action, deeds, heart, money, poor, mercy, kindness, and many other things. What I want to do today is divide the next two parts of the idea of charity into two thoughts. First of all, I want to look at what is the attitudes of the heart that affect how we view charity or giving and love. And then second of all, what are some deeds that we can look at, and also then some practical applications and actions in our life. Well, first of all, some thoughts regarding the attitudes of our heart. One way in which we're called to show this love and charity to others is by letting the love of Christ shine through us. And it doesn't need to be said, of course, but I want to emphasize the reality. If we don't know the love of Christ in our hearts, if we haven't experienced and tasted the love of God that passes understanding and the peace of God, how will we then be able to demonstrate and to show love and charity and kindness to others around us? How will we truly forgive those who really have hurt us? If we haven't experienced also the love of God has given to us in Jesus Christ and forgiven us when we have offended Him. And so the attitude of the heart needs to be focused here as we think about how we are called to charity, to gracious giving that will alone reap these rich rewards the Scriptures talk about. And so it's really, we could say, a part of worship. Charity is a part of our worship. Israel was commanded to come before the Lord not empty. They were to come into His worship, into His courts, into His tabernacle, also bringing gifts, not to earn favor, not to somehow pay back to God the blessings He had given to them, but out of a worshipful heart and attitude that had been caught up with the idea and thought, God has given me so much. He's given me so many blessings. He's showered charity on me. And now I'm called to give and return to Him and His worship and to serve others as well. So it's a part of worship. Second of all, of course, I've hinted at it already, but the attitude of our heart as we think about our giving to others needs to reflect the reality of what Christ has done in His sacrifice. In Paris some years ago, there was an artist named Ari Schaeffer. And on one occasion, he wanted to paint a poor beggar into one of his scenes in a picture. And he was in the middle of this painting when his friend Baron Rothschild, and you may hear the name Rothschild from that era and recognize that these men were very rich, financially well-to-do. He was a famous banker, one of the richest men in the world. And the artist Ari told Baron what he was doing. And Baron said, you know, tomorrow, wait till tomorrow to paint that poor picture of that poor person in your painting. And I'm going to come and I'll come dressed up as a poor beggar and I'll sit for you so you can paint this person. And so the next day he came and Baron dressed as a beggar, very sad looking indeed. And as he was sitting there for Ari, and Ari was painting, another friend happened to come in that didn't recognize Baron, this richest man in the world. And so he kind of talked to Ari, and Baron did not make himself known. And before the man left, he slipped a couple of gold coins into the hand of this richest man in the world, Baron, because he looked like such a sorry, pitiful sight. 10 years later, the man who had given these couple of dollars opened a letter in which there was a banknote from Baron Rothschild of $100,000 with a note that said, "Sir, you one day gave me a few dollars to Baron Rothschild, and I have invested it, made good use of it, and today I send you the capital plus interest it has gained." That's just a story of one man who was very rich, was treated with kindness, and gave back again. But how much us, poor sinners, who have received an inestimable value of blessing in Jesus Christ? You and I deserved death. You and I deserve more than that, eternal death, which means separation from God forever. And instead, God gave His closest thing, His own Son. His charity, His heart broke open, as it were, as He gave Christ over to suffering and death. And when the Apostle Paul thinks of this in 1 Corinthians, he is he is reminded of the great gift that God has given. And it ought to stir our hearts to faithful giving as well. As Paul is instructing the Corinthians about giving, he is reminding them of the great gift of Jesus Christ. And so as we consider our giving in charity, it doesn't always mean in financial giving, but as we minister to other people, as those who have been shown the charity of Christ, ought we not to overflow with charity, love, and kindness, and mercy ourselves? Christ gave everything. God gave everything. And that should motivate us to give everything as well. It was a sacrifice. In our giving today, financially or otherwise, are we sacrificing? Or is it out of our abundance? Does it hurt to give? What you gave this morning, what I gave this morning, did you feel it? Or was it just par for the course of what we usually give? We don't really notice it. We write it off as the 10% or 15% or whatever we give. Do we give charitably in light of the great sacrifice? Is this the attitude of our heart? And third, another point underneath this aspect of the attitude of the heart is our liberality is connected to God's gracious giving. And we should give back to others around us and to minister to the Lord in this way, as we heard this morning of those who are serving in the offices and in the churches there. They ministered to the Lord. They, as it were, gave in charitable way to the Lord and His service. Are we doing that also in what we do? Someone once borrowed a book from his neighbor, but it was an uncharitable neighbor, and because books were hard to come by in those days, he said, "Well, you can come to my house and read your book, but you can't take it to yours." Well, it was only a few days or a weeks later that the neighbor's lawnmower broke. And he went to visit his neighbor and said, "Can I borrow your lawnmower?" He said, "Well, you can use it in my lawn, but not in yours." How many times is our giving like that? But also our giving is to be free and cheerful. Paul says we are to be a cheerful giver, not giving begrudgingly. If you consider your giving, and again, it's not just financially, it can be many different ways. You give of your gifts, your talents, your time, your energy. When you and I give, how do we give? What's the attitude of our heart? What's the perception of those who are receiving the gift, receiving from us? I have to do this begrudgingly. We should do it in light of what Christ has done, yes. And we should do it then freely and cheerfully. Let's move on to actions. One of the ways in which we do give, of course, charitably, is in the area of tithing. And I could spend a good deal of time here. I'll only highlight a couple of things that I think are of importance. When we think of tithing, we often just think of the 10% that's kind of required, if you will. Even in the New Testament, you know, the Old Testament spoke about the giving of tithes, and that often is referring to the 10%. But if you follow the tithing of the Old Testament Israelite, it was actually much more than 10%. Every Jew was required by Levitical law to pay three tithes, one tithe for the Levites, one for the use of the temple and the great feasts, and one for the poor of the land. And we read in Leviticus 27:30 that the tithe is called the Lord's, to be holy unto the Lord. It was a law. It was required of them. And yet there were also free will offerings as well that were highlighted in various times in the Old Testament. There was giving to the poor. There was letting the corners of your field be for the strangers who could then come in and harvest off of your crop as well. When you had put together all the tithes that were more or less required for Israel, it's probably in the category of upper 25, perhaps to 30% of what their income was. But we ought not look at tithes simply as being required law for us to do. It was not the intention of God with Israel, and is not the intention in the New Testament for us. And Paul sets before us a good example. He writes to the Corinthians about those in Macedonia who were giving out of their, he says, poverty. And he's using this example, as Paul says, you know, those in Macedonia, they had had famine, they had really little need, and yet they had collected together to give to me, to give to you, the things that the Lord had blessed them with. And he uses this as an example. He says, "Brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounds unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints." So here we have the church at Macedonia living in poverty, hardly able to scrape together enough because of what conditions they were experiencing in their environment. And Paul says, they pressed upon me to receive this gift to give to you, to minister, fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And then he goes on to say, need we to take the example of Macedonia, who have given out of their, not riches, but poverty. And they were overflowing, Paul says, with joy. If we would give, I'm afraid, out of our poverty, it would often be begrudgingly or reluctantly. And Paul says, those at Macedonia, understanding God of all grace, who had given to them, now want to cause the gospel to further, and they joyfully give even of their lack. Paul, almost we could say, had to beg them to stop because they were in poverty already. They gave, he says, beyond their means. A second principle is giving of our time and talents and prayers. How has God blessed you? Not all of us have the same financial capabilities to give for the cause of the kingdom of Christ. But how has he blessed you? Has he given you other abilities and talents, maybe time, maybe prayer life, maybe coming alongside of another person in need, visiting at the hospital? If we consider ourselves to be a family, as we'll hear tonight, a family of God who have one Father, are we looking at each other as being a part of this one family? And are we ministering charitably to one another within this family with the gifts and talents that God has given to us? And are we doing that to the point where we are sacrificing? Or is it from our abundance that we do it? And so many times, this giving, I think, can be found in little things. We often think, and the Lord bless those who have given greatly, who have given to the cause of various ministries as well. In a great way, the Lord has certainly used those gifts. That is true. But we ought not despise the little gifts, the little coins that fall into the coffer, that come from the widow's mite. And sometimes we can have just a small act of kindness, a word in season, a reminder of, I'm praying for you in this particular circumstance. That is an act of charity that gives so much more than having signed a check. Are we consciously, intentionally doing these kinds of acts of charity? You see, it's when we go out of our way, people will notice and people are thankful and our hearts will be filled with joy. When we minister to one another and we're charitable to one another, it is in these things that we will be blessed. We often think it's when we receive something, when someone does something kind to us. But Paul has also said, it's when we give out of a cheerful heart that we are truly blessed ourselves. Now, John Wesley, when he gave something to someone, he would take off his hat or tip it, and he would hold it toward his chest. Normally, that would only be done when someone would give you something, but John Wesley was known to use this characteristic tendency of being thankful when someone gave him something, that when he would give something to someone, he would do the same as well. When you give something to someone, are you expecting things in return? Or are you doing it out of a thankful heart, that you are as thankful in your giving to them as they are perhaps in receiving what was given? I want to consider in the last point just a few more practical principles to consider. First of all, charity is long-suffering, it's merciful, and it's kind. Of course, we are obligated to care for those who are in need. You know, Paul says to the Corinthians, the God of all comfort who has comforted us according to our particular needs, we are now called to comfort those who are in any trouble. So if we have experienced the charity, the love, and the kindness of God, let us also realize, yes, there's an obligation, but let it also be out of the heart, a motivation, out of thankfulness to God, that we would also show kindness and charity to others. There's a story of Spurgeon. He had preached at several places. He had earned £300, and with this money, he wanted to take it back with him to the orphanages that he was working with in London. And so he had gotten the money, and he had retired on his bed at night. And he lay there, and as he was laying there pondering and praying, he said he heard the voice of the Lord saying to him in his heart, give that £300 to George Mueller. And he struggled. He wrestled in his heart. He knew George Mueller was someone who was ministering to orphans, but he also knew the great need that his own ministry in London had as well for the orphans. And he struggled, he said. And he struggled until it came to the point when he could say in his heart, I will do it. And he fell asleep. And he said the next morning he woke and went to George Mueller and found him on his knees in prayer. Spurgeon put his hand on his shoulder and said, George, God has told me to give you £300. Oh, said George, dear Spurgeon, that is the exact amount I've been asking the Lord for. And these two men rejoiced together. That's not the end of the story. Spurgeon returned to England. He opened a letter laying for him on his desk, and he opened it, finding £300 and 300 shillings interest on top of it. He was reminded that the Lord makes provision when we give willingly, cheerfully, charitably to others. Another principle I think we need to remember is that charity is not an option. Jesus, as he said, for example, in the Sermon on the Mount, when you pray, pray this way. He He's not saying if you pray. He also said, when you fast, do it this way, not if you fast. And he also said, when you give, do not do it like the Pharisees. It's not an option that Jesus is saying. It's not as if somehow when we've given to the cause, for example, of missionary work, we think then that we've charitably provided for the work that we heard this morning the church was called to do. And we sort of, at least I think for myself and maybe for you too, we sort of wash our hands then of the work of mission and church planting and, you know, reaching out with the gospel because we've given to this cause. But that's not what our obligation is in regard to giving charitably. We are called to reach out and to minister in the ways that God gives us in our daily life, ministering to others who are in our community and in our work with this same desire to give to them, to display Jesus Christ to them as we would expect our missionaries to do. Another principle is we ought to be subject to the moving of the Spirit. Now, this includes both regular giving. We have regular collections. But then there is also times in spontaneity where the Lord lays on our heart what we're seen as a need, and we give, and the Lord blesses. Paul said to the Corinthians, let everyone lay up in store the first day of the week. That means, of course, there were planned times of giving. There are also times in which the Holy Spirit lays on our heart someone probably has a particular need. Don't ignore these promptings of the Holy Spirit to be charitable and to give. Two more principles. One is our giving is proportional. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16, lay up in store as God hath prospered him. So God is prospering each one in his church in a different way. Just as Paul says to the rich, much has been given, so they have enough to give to the poor. So the poor is to receive that charitable giving in a loving way from those who give it. May we recognize that each of us have been given proportionally so we can also give faithfully to the cause of Christ's kingdom. C.S. Lewis said, if our expenditure on comforts, luxuries, amusements, and so on is up to the standard common among those with the same income as our own in this world, we are probably giving away too little. If our charity does not at all pinch or hamper us, I would say they are too small. There ought to be things we should like to do and cannot do because our charitable expenditure excludes them. And that applies not only to money, but to all things we have been talking about. The last principle is I think that God indeed is going to be judging our giving. Not so much by how much we necessarily have given to him, but how much we've kept for ourselves. There's quite a distinction here. We may feel like we are giving a lot. How much are we keeping to indulge for ourselves and our comforts? If there's an absence of gracious giving in our life, I think we need to ask ourselves why. Where is our charity, our overflowing from an attitude of a heart? Is it because we've lost sight of the gracious gift and the magnitude of what Christ has done for us so that our hearts overflow, not only in the financial part, that's not what I'm mainly focusing on, but in every area of life, giving to others, dying for others, that Christ may live in us. Let's pray. Gracious and merciful God and Father, help us to be more inflamed with the same love and charity that fills your heart. Lord, from eternity thou hast determined to give, and give thou didst do in the coming of thy own dear Son and blessed Savior. What else could have been given, thou gave thy life. May we, in light of this, give until we also experience sacrifice, that others may profit, may see Christ in us, and may glorify your name. Go with us now in this day, and bless us in the hearing of thy word further as well. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.